Well, we got on a subject about five things most surely believed among us as believers. And those five things we brought out are there many faiths to God? Is there a curse at work in the earth? Life is not flesh only. Does God use evil to bring judgment on sin to get mankind to repent of their sin? And then the fifth one, did God already judge sin? Father, we're just coming to your the throne of your word this morning. We're excited because we believe that everyone that hears the word of God and applies it to their life, it will be a blessing to them. And Father, I thank you. In the natural, things are not going the way that it should. But in the realm of the spiritual and the word of God, things are right on course. And Father, we're excited about being with you soon in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. What a lot of people probably don't understand is we are living in some troublesome time. Amen. But many of us do not realize that our nation is not the only one in a financial fix. The world's in a financial fix. Ireland, I don't know how true this is. I haven't done any investigating on it, but I heard on the radio, one of the talk show hosts said that Ireland went belly up. All their banks went belly up. And so they were in like $1 trillion or something like that. It's, you know, and we're in $1 trillion bracket. Now, you know what this is a sign of? End times? Really? Well, this is the time to get out your 401ks and, you know, really start investing out there where ungodly men can handle your money. And greed won't touch them because, after all, it's the devil's system. And you guys aren't getting it yet, huh? You're not that stupid. Thank God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in the Lord. Don't let it be troubled. Those of you that are in business, don't let it be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Do what you know to do in righteousness and you will be blessed. The Lord is behind His people. Praise God. Providing His people are behind Him. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you today to be encouraged because things are happening the way that they're supposed to happen. Not that this is the will of God for it to go this way. But nevertheless, things are going to get really rough. Now, how many of you remember a couple of years ago, I think it was about 2 years ago, I warned you that the economy was going to turn a little bit to the disadvantage of man in general. But how many of you realize this is the beginning? You're living in history. Remarkable history right now, whether you realize it or not. This is actually the beginning. When our nation suffers economically, there's hope. But when it's affecting all nations, then what this is going to do, it's going to set up for a one world government system or finances. Somebody's now they're crying out. John was telling me now they're crying out for someone to come up with an economic system that will be conducive for the whole world. Isn't that interesting? So I'm going to tell you something. You as a believer, you need to keep your eyes open. You need to be alert and be involved in the kingdom of God because I do feel the time is short. And I do believe that our priorities are going to change as believers the closer the return of the Lord is. And I've got some good news for you. That day will not catch us unawares. It said we're the children of light. And so God is going to start letting us know how really close that return is because it says that day will not catch you as a thief in the night. And what he's saying, you know what a thief in the night's referring to? It's referring to when you least expect the thief to come and visit your house and steal from you. The time you least expect it is when he shows up. And he says, we are not going to be caught in that situation. So God is going to start speaking to the church, those that are plugged in to the kingdom of God and literally are observing what's going around. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a complacent believer and the things of this world remove you from a devotedness to God, you will be caught off guard. Are you following me? But when you're plugged in and you're focused on the kingdom of God, in troublesome times, you will find peace. But it's sad to say, as many believers won't experience that peace because they're complacent with their Heavenly Father. You know, we're to walk by the leading of the Spirit. How many of you know that? Well, the leading of the Spirit is for the mature. Romans 8:14 says that. It says, they that are the adult or mature sons of God are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God. And that word led means disciplined, trained, and brought up properly. You following me? And so I believe that as times draw near, you're going to find more of a move of the Holy Ghost in churches, because God is going to start prophetically reaching some people to help encourage them and get back into the course that they belong in, so that they can move forward and snatch as many from the flames of hell as possible. Are you following me? And sad to say is I can't go where you go in society and life, but I can give you something called instruction, so where you go, where you're going, you can reach the lost. And so we're going to start focusing on soul winning and do our best to try to get fear removed from you so you can preach Christ to the lost. You know, that's one thing that we always fear is people not to witness into people because they have this fear on the inside of them. You're to pray for boldness. You're to preach the Word of God to people that don't have an answer. Praise God. And guess what? God, when you make yourself available to preach the kingdom of God, God will put something in your mouth to make their availability your blessing. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you today. Yes, we are living in a wonderful time period. We're going to see a lot of things come. But right now, today, about these five things that we did start preaching about until I got a little sidetracked from it. One of the things I want to talk about today is life is not flesh only. Believe it or not, it is not flesh only. We're dealing with a tripart being, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And so, we've got to realize that man is not physical only, but spiritual as well. And that's important for us to get a hold of, because God, in the church, deals with the spiritual man so that we can reach the carnal man, the physical being. Amen? And so it's important that we understand Romans 8 and how important Romans 8 is for us. Romans 8, 1 through 10 talks about the difference between the minding of the flesh and the minding of the spirit. And the church has got to pick up an understanding of what the life of the spirit is versus the life of the flesh. I've just recently have gotten some more insight concerning the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It's incredible. And I'm going to be sharing it with the church, but mostly on a night where those that really have an ear to hear will hear it. And it's important that we get an understanding of what our redemption is all about and what our physical being is all about. And so this is a very important thing to understand, that the minding of the flesh will not produce success in the kingdom of God, and you cannot please God when you're in a flesh walk. And point number four, does God use evil to bring judgment on sin to get mankind to repent of their sin? Well, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 13 here. This is where we're going to start. And verse 24, Matthew 13, 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now I want to talk just for a second about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Matthew is the only one that uses this term. And there is a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God covers everything from Genesis to Revelation. It directly relates right back to the Father. But when you're talking about the kingdom of heaven, you're dealing with the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people don't, a lot of Christians don't know that. There is a present day work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth through the church. The dispensation of grace. And it's important for us to understand that, because I'll never forget when I first started hearing Kenneth Hagin on Reel to Reel. He talked on the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never heard about it. And so when I went in and started listening to him, what he was saying about the kingdom of heaven, I got to thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't know that that was referring to the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad to say, there's been people who've gone to Rhema, graduated, come back and still hadn't heard it. And yet that's one of the things that they teach or preach. The present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? The present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ means that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is presently working in the earth while He is seated at the right hand of the Father. You guys follow me so far? Okay. And so He's governing everything from that position. That's why he says you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, you're affected by that present day ministry. But if you don't understand what that present day ministry is about, then you will not be very successful in your walk with God. There are Christians living out of the Old Testament who have no business living out of the Old Testament. Because it doesn't belong to us. We ought to get a revelation of what we are in New Testament. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, when he said the kingdom of heaven, he's referring to the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Notice that tares were sowed in the field while somebody slept. There are a lot of sleeping believers. Matter of fact, in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, it says, awake and arise from among the dead, and the Lord shall give you light and redeem your time back to you. You know what? Believers lose precious time when they step out of the fellowship of the Lord. And they look no different than a dead man. And he's telling them, rise up, get up, and make a difference as a believer where you're at. Hallelujah. And notice what he said. But when the grain has sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also produced. Now, what is this talking about? What is a tare? One who is a counterfeit. He says he's a Christian, but he's not born again. It's a form of religion that is at work within the earth. And there are many people who call themselves Christian, but have no fruit of the new birth. Their seed, the seed of God's kingdom, you will not find it in them. Well, how can I tell that? Well, you'll say things like, I thought he was a Christian. Why is he doing what he's doing? You see. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, least while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, now I'm going to tell you, there's three parables here that is in chronological order. And it's off the first parable. Notice, in another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. This is what he's referring to in the first parable, good seed. Good seed grows. Good seed grows. And you know what good seed does when it grows? It becomes a place for those that need rest. If you are a believer, you are wheat. Are you following me? And you've been planted in the kingdom of God and in His field. You grow and you become productive. Are you following me? So we think Jesus just threw a parable in here, but He's explaining something about the wheat and tares. And I got news for you. God is not going to bring calamity on a world that is in sin at the expense of those who are upright living in the same town. Katrina got God's label attached to it, and it's a lie sold out of the pit of hell. Because in spite of the condition of that city, New Orleans or whatever it is, in spite of that condition, there are godly men and women that live in that city. God's not going to destroy the bad at the expense of the good. He won't do that. That's not the love of God. That's not the message of reconciliation. It grates me when I see a minister get on TV and then get this Holy Ghost moving in him and turn to the TV and start cursing the sinner. You know what I do with television like that? Turn it right off. Got the wrong spirit working in him. God didn't tell us to go airtime and tell a sinner how he's going to hell and how unrighteous he is. That's not the message God gave us. He gave us a message to reconcile. That's what makes our generation so wonderful and so important for the unbeliever. They are reconciled to God, whether they deserve it or not. Now notice this. He says another parable. He spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. And he's saying the kingdom of God will affect the whole man. Spirit, soul, body. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And that's how you tell the wheat from the tare. Are you following me? The kingdom of God grows within you. It has a production that begins to work in you for other people. Are you following me? How many of you follow me here? And the kingdom of God works in those 3 measures till it's complete. He starts in your spirit, works in the soul, and it manifests on the branch. Glory to God. Now, if that's the case, then I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, because we're going to settle the issue. Does God use evil to bring judgment on sin to get mankind to repent of their sin? You know what that's called? Bending somebody's arm until they say, "Yes, I quit, I quit, I quit." You ever see 2 fighters in the cage? They get in there and they get them till they get them into a place where they get them and twist them and choke their neck and everything, and they have to beat the mat or say, "I quit, I quit." That's just what God's looking for. People that won't give up until they're in a fix. Heaven's not going to be full of those kind of people. Heaven's going to be full of people that want to be there. Not people that are forced there. We're no better off than where we are now. Isaiah 61. You guys turn there? Let me get there. Where is Isaiah? You got to forgive me. I'm really not too sharp on the Old Testament here. Isaiah 61. Here we go. Found it. Verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now notice, he said here, and the day of vengeance of our God. If you will, turn over to Luke chapter 4. Found that one real quick. Luke chapter 4. And let's take a look at where Jesus stood up in the temple and quoted out of Isaiah 61. Luke 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. What part did he not read? And the day of the vengeance of our God. Why? It is not that day yet. Are you following me? So what is our generation? What is our time period? It is a time period and generation of grace. It's where God will go to great lengths to bring as many as he can into the gospel of the kingdom in spite of their sin. Well then, Pastor John, when does sin become an issue? Well, I'll tell you when sin becomes an issue. Sin does not become the issue as if you're an unbeliever. Sin becomes an issue when you become a believer. Are you following me? Well, then, what about people that are in the world in sin? They're blessed. God is not going to judge them according to their sin. He's going to judge them according to the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Parents, over the years, it really grieves me how parents want to discipline their children with no relationship with the kids at all. You know something? You as a parent, if all you can do is fellowship with your children on the basis of correcting them all the time, punishing them, and not have a relationship with them on the flip side of things, you know what you do? You provoke your children to wrath. Now, our kids are not always the best kids on the block, but we like to think they are. Are you following me? But I'm going to tell you something. My children, I hate to think that all I could do is communicate with them, predicated on the basis that they get their act together. Your kids are never going to have their act all together. So you've got to find a place in your child or in his life to build a relationship with them so that you can affect the way that they do things. You see, because it's honor that will cause children to turn in the right direction. Are you following me? The testimony you leave, "Well, my kids ain't at home no more. Thank God for that. But I'm sure praying for them. They're out in the world and they're on their own. And I hope they figure it out." But do you know something? You still have to preach back into their life. You still have to pray for them. You still have a testimony you've got to give them. Because your children are very important. I know some believing parents that sell their kids out to the devil by running with the devil and going to church and then praising God. When children see that, I'll tell you, it builds an anger in them against the kingdom of God. Not against you, because they can expect it of you, but they don't know how you can call yourself a believer and yet run around like that. So when you come into the kingdom of God, the first thing God's going to do is He's going to build a desire in you to take control over sin in your life. But an unbeliever, God ain't going to judge him because he's doing what comes natural to him. He don't know any better. And so we got God, the church is trying to paint a picture of God up there going, oh my gosh, I cannot handle no more of this sin in this town or this. Now, let's send and wipe it out with water. Well, Genesis 8, then God lied. He put a rainbow in the sky and said He'd never judge people by water again. The only way He's going to judge mankind again is by fire. So if God wanted to take credit for Katrina, He should have burned it to the ground. And not use water. Boy, how we imagine things about the kingdom of God. And mankind is going to have to stand accountable, especially for the dispensation of grace. Are you following me? The only thing that God will not tolerate in the body of Christ is when two believers come into discord. But did you know that if you have a personal sin in your life and you keep it hid, God will go to the grave with you with that thing. Why? In hopes to get you removed from it. Are you following me? So we serve a wonderful God, and this is not the time period of His vengeance. This is the time period of 2 Corinthians 5:19. Turn there. I think it was Harold was telling me a message I heard a man preach. And when Harold shared it with me, my mouth dropped. And I guess evidently this minister was saying he was in conjunction with the devil. God was in conjunction working with the devil. Is that right, Harold?
Yeah.
In conjunction with the devil who put evil, sickness and disease on you. And my gosh, I wish God would make His mind up. Either in Isaiah 53, He meant what He said, or He's now going retracting that and going back to...
Well, what are you going to do with the man that was blind? And they all came to him and said, who sinned, his parents or the boy, you know? Whose problem is it that the kid was born blind?
And Jesus said, oh, he was born blind by God for the glory of God, for me to heal his blindness. Since when has God got to appoint blind births so He can show His glory in healing? You know what the carnal mind linked with the Bible is? The carnal mind linked with the Bible is called insanity. You're crazy. Here we got politicians on TV screaming how the American soldiers over in Iraq, and they're murdering babies and killing families and so. And yet the same politician says, I believe in aborting children. Now I'm going to tell you, how does that equate? It's called craziness. And 2 Corinthians 5, y'all there? 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now let's look at this verse for a minute. I want you to look at this verse. There are believers who believe that God uses Abel. And usually, He takes action because they're sinners. Now, I want you to notice this word, to reconcile. This word, reconciliation, means a change of enmity to friendship. It's talking about God did something to make mankind, who is His enemy, His friend.
Boy, that New Orleans, a sick bunch of people in there, witchcraft. I'm fed up with the whole mess. But Master, we got a lot of good believers living in that city preaching to these idiots. I don't care. I'm going to wipe them all out. They just take care of the tares right along with the wheat. Pardon me, Master, but are you God or what?
Now notice what he says here.
That God was in Christ changing something from an enemy to a friend. And guess what? Are you ready? You had nothing to do with it. You know what God was doing through Christ? He found a means to make the world a friend. And guess what? Not to each other, but he said before himself. Himself. Meaning, I don't care whether they accept me or not. I'm going to make them my friend before my own person. Me. Oh, leaves you out of it. Are you following me? It said he reconciled it to himself. Himself. Well, how can he do that? He's God. That's how he could do it. He's God. And guess what? You don't want to take him off and keep building and building, because he ain't going to mess with just New Orleans. He's going to snuff the planet. But notice this. He said, reconciling the world to himself. Now, I don't care what an unbeliever thinks, but if a believer, for his name's sake, goes to an unbeliever and tells him that God brought judgment because he's a rank sinner, that believer is going to be held accountable for the blood of Christ. Now, notice this. Not imputing. You know what the word imputing means? It's an accounting term. Not getting ticked off because they continue to build in sin. You know what? The world's going to get worse before the Lord comes. Unless your kingdom now. I'm not kingdom now. Are you following me? Not from that standpoint. Things are going to get worse. You want to know why? Because the world is in the hands of the devil. And I've never figured it out how he ever really changes.
Well, that's because us believers are here.
Then why don't you have the church packed out with all your witnessing? If believers are here, we're going to win the world. That's why Kingdom Now, they changed the name of it because it got a bad name. Maybe we ought to change our redemptive work for a better name now that the world all hates Jesus. We need to start sticking to what we need some integrity in our heart. We don't sit there and say one minute I'm a Christian and the next minute I'm a Muslim. Oh, I'm sorry, that slipped out of my mouth. Now notice this. Not imputing. You know what this word means? Reckoning. It doesn't take into any account whatsoever. It doesn't even reckon where the world is in their sin. You want to know why? You want to know why? Because sin is the action of an inward heart issue. And guess what? That heart issue is motivated by death. Are you following me? And if it's motivated by death, then you are doing what by nature, as a sinner, you would do. And so God would have to come in and reconcile that mess, and he did it through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that now he could commit to you and me commit to you and me, into our hands, that message. That message. What message? That God changed something. What did He change? He doesn't have anything against you. He's your friend. I told that to a guy one time. And he was so bad in sin, soon I knew him. The old real estate dude. And he'd sit and I would preach to him. I'd pour my heart out to him. And he'd sit and cry. You know why he never accepted Jesus? At least when he lived here, he moved to New York. But while he lived here, he never accepted Jesus because he could not understand how God could forgive him for all his sin. I said, listen, I'm telling you right now, God dealt with the sin issue in Jesus. He couldn't fathom that. I said, the reason you're doing what you're doing right now is because by nature you like it. By the wrong nature, by the way. You just like it. Yeah. Somebody said, if I could just overcome this addiction, well, learn to love it less. Desires are feed. You either feed them or you starve them. Are you following me? Well, sin is by nature. To overcome sin is by nature. So God had to give you a new nature to change the core value in your life. And now it's getting so you can't even tell a believer from an unbeliever. Why? Because here they got a move of God in Florida and the guy comes up a drug user and a womanizer and everything. He's got a move of God going. You wonder how some ministers can sit there and preach the gospel and see people saved and healed by the groves. We knew John Cook, who was raised up in that generation, knew these men. They were men of God, and yet when they got off the platform, they'd go and hit the bars. Well, how can that be? I'm going to share something with you that might be a profound revelation to you. It was to me. Dean Braxton made a statement to me that Jesus had said to him. Now, Dean Braxton is a man that goes to our church. He's ministering up in Bellingham right now. And he said this to John and I. He said that the Lord Jesus Christ told him that he never went anywhere at all. And my mind, and John's too, probably, sat there and went, neat, neat, and he did. He went there, came back here. And boy, Dean never really shared that openly with our body that I'm aware of, so maybe I'm stepping out in territory he's going to have to forgive me. But anyway, I didn't know how to interpret that, and I thought, wow, because I don't like that kind of a testimony having roadblocks in my thinking. And so I went to seek the Lord, and I kept saying, Lord, how can the guy go all the way to the third heaven and come back here, and the Lord tell him he never went anyplace? And you know something? God is so simple when it comes to giving you revelation. You're the complicated one to open your heart up for the simplicity of God. And God said, kick back, and he says, I'll give you the little key, the little secret there. He said, when you came into the kingdom of God, I declared you a physical man, graveyard material. Put. And you'll never inherit the kingdom of God. The cross killed your outer man. And yet we go and we get water baptized, come up out of the water, I'm a new man in Christ, and go and live like the world. Well, guess what? That water in that tank right there, that tank of water right there, cannot cleanse you from a deformed heart. The only thing that water baptism will really signify to you
is a testimony you're burying the old man. And resurrecting the new. You're baptized into a different realm. But if you get up from the water and you go out there, you better have another somebody else come along with a bucket and throw some water on you when you start sinning. What's that all about? You were going to go sin. I just wanted to remind you of your water baptism. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We're to pray for our world leaders. But a lot of us don't realize, so that we could live in a quiet and peaceful environment in righteousness and honor. And we've got people campaigning with the actual immorality working in their hearts. And we're going to pray for them so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in righteousness and honor, or in their term of their righteousness that we are to honor. We need to start thinking, people. And I'm going to tell you something. I do agree with Rick Renner, because I looked up in the Greek over there in Thessalonians, where it talked about how many will depart from the faith. And I can't remember how it's all brought together. I was going to get with Jerry and have him show me how he works. But I'm beginning to think that as the nations turn from God, it's because the churches are not doing their job. We should have never allowed our society to accept killing little babies. Are you following me? Little innocent beings. And then go and criticize our military for being over there killing children. What makes them any different than those military guys if they're going to accuse them of that? It's insanity. You either got to go all the way, or not at all. And that will help remove a lot of confusion for society. But I'll tell you what, the churches are going to come clashing with the kingdoms of darkness. Because Jesus said in the latter times. Are you guys getting something out of this? Am I just up here talking to myself? He said nation will rise against nation. That's ethnic group against ethnic group. Culture against culture. But then he says, and kingdom against kingdom, singular, meaning basilia, meaning that as the nations rise against each other, the kingdom of darkness will rise against the kingdom of light. Bring it on. No, we need to start preaching the love and goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for a dying world that doesn't know any better, and snatch as many as we can right out of the fire. Are you following? It is important. And the only way it's going to get done, I don't know whether it's caught you yet or not. I don't know whether you guys got the revelation yet, unless you're too stupid to realize. How many of you know when summer is coming? And how many of you know when it goes? Well, Jesus told the Pharisees, look, you can tell when summer comes and goes. You can't discern any of it. So he told them, you can't even discern the seasons or the signs of the time. There are believers that can't discern it. We think we're just in a little financial hitch here, and yet the whole world's affected by it. You don't think that something's got to take place? There's got to be a world reconciling here. The world's got to come together and figure this mess out together. If one nation falls, it affects the other nations. What's that all about? Stage time. Somebody says, well, aren't you afraid of the mark of the beast? No, not really. Why? I won't be here to receive it.
Oh, you're one of them believers in the rapture. That's old theology. I like old theology. It's something I can rely on. What's your new theology? We're going to take over the world. Well, I got some bad news for you. You got a lot of idiots that you got to take the world over with, and I don't think that's going to happen. The King of Glory is going to come, and we're going to come with Him, riding on white horses. Hallelujah. I found out what my horse's name was. Are you ready? Not unicorn. His name is Nickel Silver. It won't cost me a nickel to get silver. Okay. Just a little fun there. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 in closing. We better close before this gets out of hand. Chapter 2. Believers, it's very interesting, will tell another believer the reason you're in the fix that you're in is because there's just something about you God don't like. I don't know if any of you have heard Dave Roberson's story about the sinner and the saved guy, and they had farms together beside each other. How many of you remember that story Dave told? It's very profound. How many of you did not hear that story? Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you the story real quickly. There's a sinner lived next door to a believer. They both had farms. And one day a wildfire started coming through their area. And the wildfire burned up the believer's yard, burned his crops, wiped him out. And the believer next door, somehow the wind shifted and put the fire over towards him and missed his farm altogether. And so the believer goes, how could that be? I don't understand it. He's an unbeliever. I'm a believer. I should have been covered. So he gets through that one and begins to come out of it and everything, and all of a sudden a tornado comes and bounces right over the unbeliever's house and hits smack dab in his house, tearing up his house, his fields and everything, and disappears. The unbeliever's not even touched. And so the believer, he's really, really ticked off. See, how can that be? So he recovers from that one, questioning God all the time. He's out in the field working on his crops, and a tractor hits a big ditch and flips him off the tractor, and the tractor lands on top of him. And he cries out, God, why me? Why me? And this voice comes out. I don't know, there's just something about you I don't like. And some believers have that kind of mentality with God. They get into a catastrophe and everything, and their whole heart issue is on the line with them and God. I've learned that in tragedies in your life, if they're real big, best not to let your carnal mind figure out where God is. Sue and I have been in that condition with our son Mikey when we lost him. Wasn't that right, Sue? And that guy coming up in our doorway, right away your mind says, now where is God in this? That's the time you don't try to figure out where God is in the thing. Because if you tried to figure it out right in the midst of that tragedy, you could take an attitude towards God. But I got news for you. It's never God. You missed it somewhere. Are you following me? And so I've learned to put my flesh man right on the shelf and tell him, you shut up until the impact of this tragedy has uprooted itself in my life. And then I'll go back to you. Are you following me? A lot of us don't know how to do that. We got to learn how to do that. But we always seem to think that
Everything that happens to our life is because it's preordained by God. God designed it to do it, to teach me something. Well, we got problems with Scripture here. And so let's read verse 24 here. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, in the Greek it says that they may return to soberness out of the snares of the devil. When believers start missing the mark with God, they do not start thinking right, and the first thing they do is they attack the very person who declares them victory in life, and that is God. And yet they don't realize that they have been duped and they've been pushed over into an area that the devil has what? Did something to their thinking to take them captive at his will, not God's. Now I hate to say it, but God promised there has no temptation taken to you such as common to man, but God is able to make a way of escape for you that you may be able to endure it. And I got news for you. He don't bring the trials. But I got news for you. You're in this world and trials and tribulations will come, but be of good cheer because God overcame them for you, and you have a right to stand in the position that He has granted for you, and stand and use your faith to get out of that place. Did you guys get something here tonight? Stand up, everybody. Tonight, today. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I pray that we get our minds set on the message of reconciliation. Father, the world's going to sin. But Father, believers have a choice. They can stop the sin and reach out to a dying world that's engulfed in it, and snatch them out of that place, Father, that Jesus has provided for them. Father, today is with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, today, if there's be anybody that has never had the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God, we want to reach out to them today and lead them in the way of righteousness, having them escape the corruption that is in the world so they might come into a wonderful kingdom of the living God. And Father, not only that, but today, if there be any believer that has never confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, been out of fellowship, and would like to come into fellowship, yes, Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord. There are several of you here this morning. I don't understand this. But you are believers. And you've given occasion to your flesh. And I'm thinking you've stepped out into a sin or sins. And the Lord wants to encourage you to cease that. Cease that area. Because in that sin, it gives the enemy a chance to work on your life. And the Lord would say to you today, if you know you're doing wrong and you do perform it, stop it. Stop it here this morning. Stop it in your heart. And stop it in your body, your flesh. And the Lord will restore you. And remove you from harm's way, saith the Lord. For He does not want any of His children walking in His playground, His area. Hallelujah. Boy, that's strong in me. I don't know why, but But the Lord said to make a distinction between the walk of the Spirit and the walk of flesh. Make that distinction and don't give your physical man the opportunity, saith the Lord. Yes, my grace is for you. My grace is with you. But if you continue to violate that grace, it will turn to mercy. And when it goes to mercy, then it will lead to captivity of the enemy to take you at his will, saith the Lord. Don't allow that. The price is not worth it, says the Lord. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we'll lay hands on you for you to receive the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of churches not preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nor speaking in tongues. And yet they're charismatic. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can receive that today. So when I dismiss the service, I want those that would like salvation, to like restoration, or would like prayer for the redemptive rites. I want you to come up. And those of you that have been here constantly, you won't need to come up if you've gotten the word. You don't need to come up. But those who have never had prayer up here, for these reasons, today the Lord would say, please come. So with that said, you're dismissed. Those of you that want to come forward, come forward. It's okay. Hallelujah. The rest.